Welcome to this special SearchNetworkingChannel.com FAQ podcast. I'm Brian Kramer, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Lisa Pfeiffer. Lisa is the Vice President of Core Competence and has over 20 years working with design, implementation, and management of network technologies. She has advised companies large and small regarding security needs, best practices, and the use of emerging technologies, including wireless networks, mobile devices, and virtual private networks. Today, Lisa and I will be discussing those questions VARs, consultants, and system integrators often ask about virtual private networks. Lisa, welcome to the SearchNetworkingChannel.com FAQ podcast.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
Let's jump right into the questions. First question. What are the pros and cons of selling firewall or VPN solutions as integrated bundles?
Well, when IPsec VPNs first emerged, most of those products were actually purpose-built products that were designed to be deployed either behind a firewall or on a firewall's DMZ. But those standalone architectures were actually pretty short-lived, and today nearly every firewall actually provides integrated VPN features. It actually makes a lot of sense to terminate site-to-site VPN tunnels on a firewall. Doing that makes it easy to protect traffic that's actually sent between branch offices and a central site without adding any extra hops, reassigning addresses, or actually breaking those IPsec tunnels by sending them through a network address translator. Firewalls can also be used to apply security policies to that site-to-site traffic. A good example of that is stopping the worms that might otherwise propagate across a site-to-site tunnel or remapping private subnets. Also, with an integrated firewall VPN, your customers have just one platform to provision, monitor, troubleshoot, and maintain. Those are the advantages. Most firewalls can also terminate remote client IPsec tunnels, but the thing is that firewalls don't really excel at meeting remote access needs. So it can be an uphill battle to try to pitch an integrated VPN firewall as a remote access solution when there are just so many standalone VPN concentrators that offer more attractive features. Selling an integrated VPN for remote access actually complicates your job when it comes to firewall sizing, pricing, and interoperability. Getting those things right depends on the customer's remote workforce needs, the devices they use, their usage habits, and all of that tends to change over time, and it makes it harder to get a handle on how you have to size the firewall, much harder than with inter-office traffic.
Now, how would a value-added reseller sell a new SSL VPM concentrator to a customer who already has a firewall or VPN?
Well, new SSL VPN concentrators, they're actually creating a lot of competition, both for integrated firewall VPN products and also for conventional IPsec VPN concentrators. Most analysts now are saying that SSL VPNs are really quickly becoming the dominant solution for remote access. And I've worked with many companies that have either used SSL as a replacement for their older IPsec VPN concentrator, or they've used SSL to shift much of their workforce onto a new SSL VPN concentrator. The most visible advantage of deploying an SSL VPN is actually avoiding VPN client installation and configuration. SSL VPNs use the web browser that's already found on nearly every remote device as a launch point. Most SSL VPNs do use a little bit of client software, but they avoid installing software by pushing that software to the device as needed over that secure browser session. Avoiding installed clients not only reduces VPN total cost of operation, it actually makes remote access possible for users and devices who really just couldn't be satisfied with IPsec. For example, teleworkers that connect from their home PCs, consultants who require access from their own laptop, or field workers that are actually connected from behind a customer's firewall that doesn't permit IPsec to pass through it. Customers who do buy an SSL VPN concentrator, they often ask, well, do I still need my firewall VPN? And the answer there is absolutely yes. The investment that you made in that firewall VPN is still worthwhile. An SSL VPN concentrator doesn't firewall, so it has to be protected by that separate firewall. And in addition, most companies do still need to use their integrated firewall VPN as a way of securing that interoffice traffic, using site-to-site IPsec tunnels.
Next, how can VARs determine which kind of VPN is the best fit for each customer's applications?
Well, IPsec VPNs are the clear choice for secure site-to-site communication. That's independent of the application being used. The more difficult question to answer is usually how to map remote user applications onto either IPsec or SSL VPN access methods. IPsec VPNs can support any IP-based application. But SSL VPNs can actually offer up to four methods. They usually fall into four categories: simple web proxies, application translators, port forwarding agents, and network extension clients. Those simple web proxies, they're great for applications that already have a web front end, like webmail or enterprise application portals. SSL VPN translators, they can do more. But a specific translator actually has to be created for each application. Most SSL VPN products do include translators for common business applications. Good examples are enterprise mail, file sharing, and remote terminal sessions. However, you have to create one of those translator plugins for each application that might be less common or might be proprietary to you. Port forwarding agents, they treat every application the same way, and that means they can support most user-initiated TCP client-server applications. However, they do often require that user to have administrative rights on the remote system, which is not always the case. And then finally, IPsec clients or SSL network extension clients, both of them can tunnel any IP-based application. And those clients are needed to support applications that are server push applications or usually real-time applications. But of course, this does require installed client software. VARs really need to understand that all SSL VPNs are not alike. My recommendation is that you work closely with your VPN vendors to understand the applications they can actually support, as well as the limitations of each of the access methods they offer. When in doubt, I recommend that you ask your vendor if they've actually tested a specific application and the version of the application that's required by your customer.
For VPNs with both browser and client-based access, why would anyone use the client-based method?
Well, that's a good question. IPsec VPNs actually started with installed clients, but they lost favor over time when clients realized that there are just many users that don't need a client in order to get their job done, and that installed client does increase cost of ownership. SSL VPNs started with browser-only access in order to reduce that cost, but most products ended up adding bits of client-side software in order to broaden that application support. In the end, I think that most customers, what they really want is a single VPN concentrator that's actually flexible enough to let them support multiple methods. That way, VPN administrators can actually decide which method each user needs and actually deserves. And they can also easily change their mind later, while still bringing in all users through a single common entry point to simplify access control and auditing. Workers that do really need installed clients tend to be those who use more demanding bi-directional applications. A really good example of that is voice over IP. They can also be the employees that require broad access to many destinations inside the private network, such as database and system administrators. Finally, it's not really unusual for companies to extend that browser-based access to new users, but actually to leave those existing users that already have those installed clients on the old client-based VPN, at least initially. That tends to be a less disruptive way of introducing a new browser-based VPN.
As customers start using mobile devices, they are using fewer VPN-enabled desktops. Are there new VPN solutions that can be offered for mobile workers?
Sure, most laptop users can be satisfied by using either IPsec or SSL remote access VPNs. They're pretty much like a desktop when it comes to that client. But workers who carry PDAs and smartphones or point-of-sale terminals, barcode scanners, other handheld mobile devices, they actually require a different VPN solution. Now, one reason for that is the actual hardware platform itself. Those mobile devices actually run different operating systems, They also have resource limitations, like tiny little screens, limited battery life. Now, it's possible to find IPsec and SSL VPNs that support Windows Mobile or Symbian or Palm, but doing that actually requires interoperability testing, it requires additional client software, additional licenses, and it probably will have an impact on VPN installation and configuration processes as well. VARs can actually help fill that gap by selling known compatible mobile client software with their traditional VPN offerings. I think a much bigger market opportunity actually involves the sale of mobile VPN products. Now, by mobile VPNs, I don't mean the clients that actually run on mobile devices. What I'm talking about here are different VPN gateways that actually adapt themselves transparently to changes in network connectivity. For example, when a PDA roams from a Wi-Fi hotspot onto 3G cellular, maybe into a black spot and then back to 3G cellular or Wi-Fi again, a mobile VPN can actually make all those transitions invisible to the user, invisible to the applications on the device. Mobile VPN can also help choose the best available link when there are multiple connections available. Companies with on-the-go workers who just can't get their jobs done without that kind of seamless connectivity will actually pay for that extra privilege. VARs can tap into this emerging mobility market by actually selling new mobile VPN client solutions or mobile VPN gateway solutions available from companies like NetMotion and Columbitech.
Enterprise customers are asking a lot of questions about endpoint security. How can VPN offerings address these concerns?
VPNs make it possible for remote sites and users to actually become an integral part of the private network that they're accessing, independent of their physical location. But the challenge is that when you do that, you're actually adding risk. If a remote user's device happens to be infected with a virus, a worm, or a Trojan, those kind of network-borne security threats, they can actually ride that secure VPN tunnel right into that private network. Now, most contemporary VPN concentrators actually incorporate features that are intended to actually mitigate or reduce those risks. For starters, many of those VPNs can run an endpoint security scan at the time that the VPN tunnel is actually launched. If a required endpoint security program is actually running and up to date, then the VPN tunnel is going to be permitted. If not, then the VPN tunnel is either going to be denied, or the user could be routed to a quarantine server where they can obtain the missing software or patches or maybe a cleanup file. Next, assuming they connected, then during the VPN session, granular role-based policies can be used to actually limit what that remote user can do. For example, giving someone on a home PC very narrow access to email and nothing else. In this way, an infected endpoint might not actually be able to penetrate the network, or they might not be able to steal very much sensitive information. And then finally, when the session ends, most SSL VPN concentrators do have the ability to clean up after themselves by removing things like temp files, wiping the browser cache clean, deleting cookies, and then closing that browser window out. Now, that's not endpoint security per se, but it can help avoid any accidental data breaches that can occur when a VPN is actually accessed from a public or a multi-user endpoint.
How do VPNs fit within enterprise network access control architectures like NAC and NAP?
Well, these SSL VPN products started offering the endpoint security techniques I was just talking about really long before the access control architectures that you mentioned became popular inside corporate LANs. Those NAC architectures, they turn the corporate LAN inside out by treating every user and every device, whether they're local or remote, as potentially unknown, potentially infected, and thus potentially dangerous. Companies are used to actually dealing with remote access users in that way. Now they're using NAC architectures to apply this philosophy to local users as well. Cisco's NAC architecture can use the Cisco 3000 VPN concentrator as a network access device. A network access device is actually an element that sits at the edge of the protected network, and its job is to permit and deny access, and then to enforce admission decisions. The key component of Microsoft's NAP architecture has yet to be released. Microsoft's architecture doesn't officially incorporate any specific VPN product. However, there are many VPN vendors that have expressed their intent to support NAP when it does become released and available. So the bottom line is, really, there's not a lot of NAC or NAP-capable VPN products today. However, those architectures are really still in their early days, and I do expect to see much broader VPN support for both NAC and NAP in the future.
Finally, are VPNs a good way to secure wireless LAN traffic?
Well, VPNs are absolutely a great way to secure off-site wireless traffic. Requiring teleworkers to VPN into a company network that lets the employer actually ignore whether or not a worker's home network is secure. Requiring hotspot visitors to VPN into company networks makes even more sense, since employers clearly don't have any control over the security used in a public Wi-Fi hotspot, or usually lack thereof. Now, as I mentioned earlier, mobile VPNs actually excel at not just encrypting the over-the-air wireless traffic, but actually making network connectivity more usable for devices that actually roam between coverage areas. On the other hand, using VPNs to secure on-site corporate wireless traffic is actually on the decline. When wireless networks were limited to wired equivalent privacy, WEP, VPNs were the only reliable way to encrypt over-the-air traffic. But every Wi-Fi access point that was shipped within the past 4 years actually supports more robust wireless security options. Given the choice, most companies opt to use either WPA or WPA2, that's Wi-Fi protected access, encryption in order to take advantage of what's built into their access points, rather than adding the overhead and complexity of a wireless VPN gateway. Now, it's not that VPNs are actually a bad way to secure on-site wireless traffic. They're not. But given advances in Wi-Fi security, VPNs just aren't the easiest or cheapest way to do that anymore.
Thanks for joining me on the SearchNetworkingChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast, Lisa.
Thank you, Brian, for the opportunity to participate. And to all of you who are actually listening into this podcast, I hope that we managed to cover your most pressing questions. But if I missed your favorite question, please feel free to drop me an email, or you can send me your question through the Search Networking Ask the Expert page.
Thanks, Lisa. For an abridged version of this interview, visit searchnetworkingchannel.com. For more information on VPNs and other networking issues that matter to you and your channel business, please visit us online at searchnetworkingchannel.com. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Please join us again next time for more frequently asked questions.